Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What an incredible worship service last week we had for our anniversary, for our 75th anniversary, seeing so many people who have been connected to St. Paul in the past, hearing a wonderful and encouraging message from Pastor Preuss, the amazing music from all of our talented musicians, blessing the beautiful painting that now adorns our church entrance. Truly, God has blessed St. Paul Lutheran Church over the past 75 years. But is this the end of the story? You know, too often when we consider the past, we tend to become hyper-focused on everything that came before and lose sight on what is still lies ahead. And looking in our reading for today, for the seventh Sunday of Easter, our reading from Acts addresses this very question as we see past, present, and future all coming together for the apostles in the week after Christ's ascension. And now, to preface, the apostles have been through a lot, an intense 47 days or so here. 47 days ago was the triumphal entry when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey to shouts of Hosanna to the King of Israel, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. 43 days ago was the Last Supper, Maundy Thursday. Jesus comes and celebrates the Passover with his disciples in the upper room. He imparts to them his final teaching and warns them of what is going to come, that they will mourn, but the world will rejoice. They will mourn, but their mourning will turn to joy. He institutes the Lord's Supper for them and gives them his true body and blood in the bread and wine of that Passover meal. He warns them that they will all fall away from him, that one of their number will betray him. And of course, afterward, that is exactly what happens. They go to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. The disciples pray very well with their eyes closed, and the chief priests and their soldiers come to arrest Jesus, led by one of Jesus' own disciples, Judas Iscariot. The disciples fall away, and they see him no more. 42 days ago was the crucifixion. Jesus was betrayed into the hands of sinful men. The apostles had abandoned him. Peter had denied him. Jesus was condemned. He was flogged and crucified and executed and died. And 40 days ago was the resurrection. The disciples at first had no idea what to think. Maybe his body had been stolen. The women and others came and said that they had seen him alive, that alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed, alleluia. The disciples don't believe it, but eventually that evening they see him in the flesh and believe. And then over the last 40 days, they had learned from him in one of the most intense Bible studies imaginable. Think of it, about 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with Jesus, the Word of God incarnate, going through the Word of God and how it all points to him. Jesus had spent that time preparing them to be his witnesses, to bring his message to all these people who need to hear it. And then, just before our reading today, Jesus leaves them alone. No more Jesus. He has ascended into heaven. Jesus ascended into heaven to take his seat at God's right hand, a moment of triumph and victory and joy. And this is what we celebrated this past Wednesday evening in Auburn, is the ascension of Christ, how he continues to reign today in glory. And I imagine that for the disciples, they would have been very much tempted at this moment to look back on those halcyon days with Jesus, to look back with longing at their time of being Jesus' disciples, learning at his feet, following him along, and seeing him performing all these miracles, and even giving them the power to perform some of them themselves. Before, of course, they didn't have all of the responsibility that God had placed on them now. Before, they could simply listen to Jesus, to trust his words. Before, whenever they had a question, the Master was standing right there with all the answers. It's easy for us to look back on the past with longing. Now, to be fair, it is good and right to look back and celebrate what happened in the past. We just had our anniversary celebration last weekend, which was very much about remembering where our congregation has come from and all of the saints who went before, who built up this church and its ministry here in Sanford. St. Paul has served Sanford for 75 years. Before that, the Sanford Lutheran Church. We remember back to those good days when the pews were filled and we, in fact, needed to set up extra chairs even in this large sanctuary. We remember the days of having an enormous Sunday school and large confirmation classes year after year. We have so many positive memories of how the Lord worked through our congregation in the past. And so often, it seems that our memories of the past feel like the happiest that we could imagine being. When all of the pews were filled, when the kids were all at home, or it was just the two of us, when the whole family was nice and close, or mom wasn't living in the spare room, when we had the energy and disposable income to do whatever we wanted, to go wherever we felt like and whenever we felt like. Now, there is nothing inherently wrong with nostalgia, with the fond memories. But when we look at the apostles in the book of Acts, we don't see them living in the past. They remember what Jesus had taught. They remember what Jesus had said, yes, but they do not dwell on the way that things were. They are rooted in the past, but they live in the present, looking to the future. Now, the impetus for our reading today from the book of Acts, from Acts chapter 1, is that there is a vacancy in the apostolic roster. In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers, the company of persons was in all about 120, and said, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested him. So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection." So looking at this reading, is anyone else here getting call committee flashbacks? because I know I did. Now, I've never been on a pastoral call committee, but I was involved with, I think, 6 in the 8 years I was in Kansas at the school, and either calling teachers or calling principals. And it is hard. There's a lot of paperwork to go through, a lot of questions to ask and answer. I remember feeling completely overwhelmed by the volume of potential candidates looking at everyone, even just those who are interested in going to Kansas. And how many people are interested in going to Kansas without knowing it? Anyways, the apostles had 12 apostles to stand in for the 12 tribes of Israel. Jesus here, remember, is rebuilding Israel in his church, and so the 12 apostles, in a very real sense, take the place of the sons of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel, which we kind of see in the book of Revelation with the 12 gates for the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 gates for the 12 apostles. And so one of the apostles had betrayed them, serving as a guide for the Sanhedrin when they came to arrest Jesus. Judas had regretted his actions almost right away, and then committed suicide, meaning that they were left with 11. Now, I may not be a mathematician, but I'm pretty sure 11 does not equal 12. And so the apostles know that they need to replace this missing apostle. So they set out their criteria. It has to be one of these men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day of his resurrection, until the day when he was taken up from us. One of these men must become with us, a witness to his resurrection. And so, in other words, if you're going to be a witness to the resurrection, you probably ought to be a witness to the resurrection. And so they find their two candidates who meet the criteria, Joseph Barsabbas and Matthias, and then they pray, and then they do the first century Jewish equivalent of a coin flip. They cast lots for it, in essence, giving the decision up to God to guide the random chance. And they choose Matthias. They could not continue living in the past. The apostles had to move forward in the present. For all, if they're going to carry out this ministry that God had prepared for them to do, to be the beginning of this new Israel in the church, to be his witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. If they're going to do this, they need their 12th apostle. Rather than dwell on the loss of Judas Iscariot, they had to continue into the present. And for us as well, it is also important to live in the present, not to dwell on the past. We can't dwell on the good things that are behind us. We can't focus on yesterday, which has passed. We can't let ourselves be overcome with regret for poor decisions or mistakes, or to simply long for the good old days that may never return in that same way. Instead, we continue to carry on God's mission today, learning from and rejoicing in the past and taking those lessons into today, to teach those who come to learn, to worship together as God's people, receiving his gifts in worship and bringing those gifts to those outside of our doors, to seek to use the gifts with which God has blessed our congregation in order to carry on his mission and ministry here in Sanford and even beyond. We continue to do this ministry in the present, and yet our eyes are firmly fixed on the future. A question that might come up is why the apostles would return to Jerusalem after the ascension. After all, Jesus had left and he had told them to be his witnesses elsewhere. They didn't return to Jerusalem because that was the site of Jesus' greatest miracle, though it was the site of his death and resurrection. They didn't return because of all the great things that had happened there in the past. They didn't exactly return because it was their present address. After all, most of these are Galilean fishermen. No, the apostles returned to Jerusalem because Jesus sent them there to await the coming of the Holy Spirit. Jesus had promised that they would be clothed with power from on high. He had spent his entire ministry, and especially the last 40 days since the resurrection, preparing the apostles for this mission that he was going to give to them. On Maundy Thursday, he had told them that he would send the Comforter to them, to teach them. At the ascension, just before he is taken away, he tells them to wait until they are clothed with power from on high. That power from on high, that Comforter, is the Holy Spirit, whom they will receive very soon. In fact, just 10 days after the ascension, which we will celebrate 1 week from today. But what the apostles had not received yet, we have received. We have received that Holy Spirit. You receive the Holy Spirit in your baptism when you are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You receive that same power which rested on the apostles, which enabled them to carry on their apostolic ministry. That same Spirit is on you. There is no waiting period for us as we begin our ministry, as St. Paul Lutheran Church continues to do God's ministry here in Sanford. Our ministry is begun, has been going on, is and will continue. We reach out to those who are in our neighborhood and in our community who need to hear the gospel. We teach young and old to love Jesus and how much he has loved them. We share God's love with those who are in need, whether it's providing quilts, whether it's buying gas or sharing food through the food pantry. And yet, we also look to the future, to a glorious future that Jesus promises, which we see in our reading from Revelation, the future where Jesus brings us into that new heaven and new earth. We don't know exactly what form the future will take here on earth, just that Jesus is in control. Of course, the ministry of the church is not something that happens way off in the future. It's something that happens right now, in the present, today, and tomorrow. When we worship together as God's people, receiving his gifts and returning to him our thanks and praise. When we learn together, delving into his word to understand better what he has done for us. When we share that good news with those around us who are so desperately in need to hear it. When we are the church. The church rooted in the past, living in the present, and looking forward into the future. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep and guard our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.